This time I invite you to turn in your Bibles to Matthew chapter 6 for the reading of God's Word. If you're using a Pew Bible, you can find that on page 964. I'll begin reading at verse 9. To verse 15, and then we'll move over to verse 24 to the end of the chapter. Beginning at verse 9, let us now hear God's word. Pray then like this: Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread. And forgive us our debts as we also have forgiven our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For if you forgive others their trespasses, your heavenly Father will also forgive you. But if you do not forgive others their trespasses, neither will your Father forgive your trespasses. Now moving to verse 24 and following. No one can serve two masters, for either he will hate the one and love the other, or he will be devoted to the one and despise the other. You cannot serve God and money. Therefore, I tell you, do not be anxious about your life, what you will eat or what you will drink, nor about your body, what you will put on. Is not life more than food, and the body more than clothing? Look at the birds of the air. They neither sow nor reap nor gather into barns, and yet your heavenly Father feeds them. Are you not of more value than they? And which of you, by being anxious, can add a single hour to his span of life? And why are you anxious about clothing? Consider the lilies of the field, how they grow. They neither toil nor spin. Yet I tell you, even Solomon in all his glory was not arrayed like one of these. But if God so clothes the grass of the field, which today is alive and tomorrow is thrown into the oven, will he not much more clothe you, O you of little faith? Therefore, do not be anxious, saying, what shall we eat, or what shall we drink, or what shall we wear? For the Gentiles seek after all these things, and your heavenly Father knows that you need them all. But seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things will be added to you. Therefore, do not be anxious about tomorrow, for tomorrow will be anxious for itself. Sufficient for the day is its own trouble. Thus far, the reading of God's word, may it add his blessing upon the preaching and teaching of it. At this time, I invite you to turn in your Forms and Prayers book that it's in the pew. And we're going to turn to page 256, Lord's Day 50. What does the fourth petition mean concerning give us this day our daily bread? Page 256. Congregation of Christ, what does the fourth petition mean? Give us this day our daily bread means provide for all our physical needs, so that we may recognize that you are the only source of everything good, and that neither our care and work nor your gifts can do us any good without your blessing. Therefore, may we withdraw our trust from all creatures and place it in you alone. Let's ask the Lord for his blessing and a word of prayer. Father in heaven, we pray that you would give us eyes to see and ears to hear. Blessed Jesus, at your word, feed us, O Lord, your living word. We pray this in your name. Amen. Congregation of Christ, we continue the sermon series on the Lord's Prayer. Lord, teach us to pray. The three petitions focused our attention on God's name, God's kingdom, and God's will. And now we come to the fourth petition. Father, give us this day our daily bread. Or literally, our daily bread, give to us this day. Our daily bread, give to us this day. And when we talk about our daily bread, it's almost unanimous within biblical interpretation in church history that Jesus is referring here to physical needs, our physical needs. The word bread here not only refers to food, but it's figurative for all physical needs. Clothes, food, drink. all those essentials in life to live. And to understand the petition, we're going to hear a sermon this morning on Matthew 6, verses 24 to 34 there, where we first see here that Jesus teaches us first the antidote for worry. The antidote for worry. Humble faith, Christian, humble faith and dependence upon our Father is the antidote for worry. That's what Jesus is communicating here to each and every believer in the Lord Jesus. We are citizens of His glorious kingdom. He is our Father. We are His children. And humble dependence upon our Father is that wonderful antidote for worry. It's the antidote to the worrisome life. You see, worry, in fact, is a lack of trust in the one who gives every good and perfect gift from above. And we see that in our passage also. But why did I read verse 24 first? Verse 24 is essential to the context of 25 to 34. Why? Well, verse 25, we see, "Therefore I tell you, do not be anxious about your life." There's a therefore there. At verse 24, Jesus teaches us to be worshipers and servants of God. Serve God and not money. Serve God and not the things of this world. In the earlier verses there, lay up treasures in heaven and not treasures on earth, where rust and moth destroy and where thieves come in and steal. No, lay up for yourselves treasures in heaven. In other words, seek first the kingdom of God and His righteousness, and everything else will be added unto you. And so don't serve earthly treasures and possessions, because they have no eternal value. They don't have an eternal value. So don't confuse your values then. Don't confuse your priorities. What is your priority? What is your value in life? What do you hold most dear in life? I think I brought this up last week during the reading of the law. What do you hold up most dear in life? If you value God more than anything else in life, then you'll know the provision and blessing of Almighty God. This is what it means to seek first the kingdom of God. Because a humble faith and dependence upon our Father who is in heaven is the antidote for worry. Because we're trusting in the one who provides and blesses. This is why Jesus says, therefore, don't be anxious. Don't be anxious about your life, what you will eat or what you will drink, nor about your body. The word here for anxious is also worry, and it refers to the distraction of the mind, the pulling apart of the mind, this tension that occurs in your spirit about the things of this world and the things you know you need to do. I know I don't have to worry, but I worry. What do I do with this tension inside of me? Life, Jesus says, is more than food, and the body more than clothing. And yet your gracious Father in heaven provides these things for you. He gives life, and He provides for your physical life and well-being. He provides for your physical needs. And He provides two illustrations here from creation and nature. Look at the birds, Christian. Look at the birds. Consider the lilies. Consider these things. Look at the birds of the air. They neither sow nor reap nor gather into barns, and yet your heavenly Father feeds them. Are you not of more value than they? And why are you anxious about clothing? Verse 28. Consider the lilies of the field, how they grow. They neither toil nor spin. Yet I tell you, even Solomon in all his glory was not arrayed like one of these. But if God so clothes the grass of the field, which today is alive and tomorrow is thrown into the oven, will He not much more clothe you, O you of little faith? Humble faith and submission to our Father in heaven is the antidote for worry. Look at the birds of the air. Observe them. What do? They don't plant their food and then reap a harvest. They don't gather into barns preparing for tomorrow. They rely upon their Creator for their daily worm, for their daily seed. We too must remember that our God, our Creator, our Redeemer, supplies our daily bread. For He says, Jesus says here, "Are you not of more value than they?" Friends, we're image bearers, as we heard last Sunday evening, created in God's image and God's likeness. Not only that, through faith in Christ, we've been adopted into His family, and we call Him Abba, Father. How much more then will your Father meet your needs? What are you worrying about? This cannot be said of birds and lilies, can they? Think about it that way. What Jesus is saying here, yes, though our Father, your Father in heaven, created the birds, created the lilies, and gives them what they need. He clothes the fields with lilies. He gives birds food. Though He gives them those things, they are not of the same value, not in the same category as you, Christian. And yet your Father in heaven meets their needs. How much more will He meet yours? How much more will He meet yours? Now we need to be careful not to press too much into Jesus' analogy of the birds and of the lilies here. His illustration isn't a license for laziness, isn't a justification to live idle lives. Jesus simply teaches here this truth. Listen carefully. He's talking about worry. Worry is prohibited, not work. Worry is the one that's prohibited here. You see, birds diligently search to find their daily worm and seed. And we too must work for our daily bread. But there's more on this later, and I'll get to that. But it's worry that the Lord Jesus is teaching us here. Don't be anxious. Don't worry about your needs. Your Father in heaven will meet them. How much more valuable are you, image bearer and child of God? During World War II, my wife's grandfather, step-grandfather, was a prisoner of war, and he was captured, and he was locked in a train car for many days, along with other POWs from various nations, various countries. And the only ration of food that he received was stale black bread. It was so bad that soldiers just couldn't put it down because it was so bad. But here his grandfather was on the floor picking up every crumb that he can get. He would go down and he would put it in his clothes, in his pockets. And when the time came and he needed it, it was there. And he recalled those days of having to find his daily bread in such dire circumstances. God answered his prayer. God answered his prayer. "Give me this day, O God, my daily bread." The prayer of humble faith and dependence upon God who gives life and provides life to His children, providing food, drink, clothing. You see, our Father is the antidote for worry and an anxious heart. And so Jesus is teaching each and every one of us, look to Him, trust in Him, follow Him, seek first the kingdom of God and His righteousness, and all these things will be added unto you. The antidote for worry is our Heavenly Father. Humble faith in Him. Secondly, the ineffectiveness of worry. Jesus teaches us here at verse 27, "And which of you by being anxious can add a single hour to his life his span of life. And then go down to verse 31. Therefore, do not be anxious, saying, what shall we eat? Or what shall we drink? Or what shall we wear? For the Gentiles seek after all these things. And your heavenly Father knows that you need them all. But seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things will be added to you. Therefore, do not be anxious about tomorrow, for tomorrow will be anxious for itself. Sufficient for the day is its own trouble. Friends, worry, anxiety is powerless to affect change in your life and my life. Can it add a single hour? Can it add a single minute to your life? Can it change the circumstances in your life? Can it change the direction of your life? Worry doesn't prolong life, but it certainly has the potential. It certainly has the potential to what? Shorten life. You think about all the physical ailments that come along with an anxious life, a worrisome life. Worry has the power to reduce the quality of life. This state of mind and of the soul actually hinders us from seeking God's kingdom and his righteousness, because it takes our eyes off of God and onto ourselves. We try to fix problems. We try to make everything go swimmingly, rather than trusting in the one who says, I am in control. I gave you life. I will provide for your life. Jesus says that even the Gentiles seek after these things. Even the Gentiles seek after all these things, that is, food and drink, the essentials of life they seek after, both believer and unbeliever. And yet the unbeliever, the Gentile, does not know God nor love him. Think about that for a moment. They live their lives without God, and they know that they need the essentials for life. They store up treasures on earth and not treasures in heaven. Their priorities are mixed up. You and I, however, know God and love him by grace through faith in Jesus. By his Spirit, he's given us faith, created faith in our hearts. By grace, he has given us eyes to see our Father who is in heaven and to trust in him. Oh, if the Gentiles, if the unbeliever goes after these things, how much more should we as Christians trust in our Heavenly Father to provide and meet all of these needs? We of all people, of all people on planet Earth, is the Christian who need not worry about the needs, physical needs in life. But we do. But we do. Jesus teaches his followers not to live like unbelievers who do not know and love God. We know him because Jesus, by the Spirit, revealed himself to us. Jesus reconciled us to the Father through his death on the cross. By his Spirit, we are his children. We are children of the faithful and promise-keeping God who doesn't leave his people in physical distress. He meets our physical needs. Referring to the fourth petition, one commentator says this: give us this day our daily bread. He says, although this prayer does not take the place of work, it does take the worry out of our daily labors. Our prayers and our lifestyles show modesty and confidence. We are merely asking for our daily portion as soldiers in God's army, as children in God's house, as people who have been enlisted in Christ's service. This is hard for us. And we live in an affluent day. We have big barns. We have stuff. And so a prayer like this is just breezed right over, give us this day our daily bread, without carefully being considered what Jesus is teaching us to pray for. And there's a lot of pride here. I worked for this stuff. I did it. I put this food on the table. And so we have repenting to do. Lord, forgive me. Forgive me for taking for granted and not seeing how everything in my house, on my kitchen table, in my pantry, every single thing comes from your fatherly hand. Even the work that I have comes from your fatherly hand. This is a dangerous prayer for us in the West and for most parts of the world. Because sometimes I think we don't know what we're really praying for here. Essential needs, physical needs, which leads to my third point, the provision of our Father. The provision of our Father. In what ways does our Father provide for our physical needs? Does He send manna from heaven onto our dinner tables this afternoon when we get together for dinner? Does it just come down, boys and girls, from the ceiling, from the heavens, onto our table? We pray, give us this day our daily bread. We're praying for God's provision. We're praying to receive His blessing because it's received by faith in Him. It's received to the glory of His name. And so be anxious about nothing, but in everything, in prayer, with thanksgiving, make your request known to God. Pray. Pray for God's provision. Pray with thanksgiving. Because as the Apostle Paul says in Romans chapter 14, he says, whatever is not done in faith, whatever you do, if it is not done in faith, it is what? Sin. And so you're eating and you're drinking this afternoon. If it is not done in faith, it is not done to the honor and glory of God's name. Does that change the way you think about your priorities and values in life? How you value God and His gifts, His blessings to you? The very food that you bring to your lips this afternoon is a blessing from God Almighty. And the Gentiles will eat and drink, saying, I worked for this. I did this. God had nothing to do with this. I've had people say that to my face. God had nothing to do with this. I'm the one that sweated this out. I'm the one that put it on the table. Whatever is done must be done in faith. And when we pray in faith for God's provision. But we also pray and work. See, we don't minimize work. And so I want to get back to that. The provision of our Father through work. The Bible teaches that God speaks against laziness and opposes the lazy person who doesn't labor for food and his daily needs. Please turn with me in your Bibles to 2 Thessalonians chapter 3. 2 Thessalonians chapter 3, beginning at verse 7. The Apostle Paul writes to the church there, for you yourselves now know how you ought to imitate us, because we were not idle when we were with you, nor did we eat anyone's bread without paying for it, but with toil and labor we worked night and day, that we might not be a burden to any of you. It was not because we do not have that right, but to give you in ourselves an example to imitate. For even when we were with you, we would give you this command. If anyone is not willing to work, let him not eat. For we hear that some among you walk in idleness, not busy at work, but busy bodies. Now such persons we command and encourage in the Lord Jesus Christ to do their work quietly and to earn their own living. If anyone is not willing to work, doesn't say not able, not willing to work. Because there are people who have fallen on tough times these days, who have lost their jobs, who want to work, who are willing to work, but can't. Because perhaps they lost their job or have been laid off or can't find work. Paul here warns us against idleness. We pray and work. He also warns the thief who enjoys the bread of another in Ephesians chapter 4, verse 28. And so work is essential. Today we hear a lot about a man by the name of Karl Marx, don't we? We hear a lot about Marxism in social media as we consider the direction of this country. Karl Marx and his friend Friedrich Engels wrote the Communist Manifesto. There are some things about his life that are quite interesting. If you were to take the life of Marx and place it side by side with the life and the worldview of many in our society, you'll quickly discover striking similarities. You see, Marx continually relied upon the wealth of others, family and friends. At the death of his father, his mother financially helped him even throughout his adult years, and then eventually cut him off because he would blow his money that he didn't work for. Eventually, she got so fed up with him, she gave him his father's inheritance. And what did he do with that money? Within a year's time, he bought weapons for uprisings. Striking similarities. He believed that there was a class that oppressed people, and he wanted to fight against that. He had no money, barely supported his family. And you know what he did? He blamed his misery and the death of his children on everyone, even his wife, God, but he never blamed it on himself. He was the victim of oppression. This is contrary to what Scripture teaches. We are called to work. Yes, we are called to pray, give us this day our daily bread. But we are also called to work and trusting God to provide that essential need for body, for the body, for life, physical life. But we pray, we work. We also have the community of faith, and this is very important for us, Christian. The church is the place where spiritual and physical needs are cared for. God provides through the community of faith. Listen to the words, the prayer. Give us this day our daily bread. It's a communal prayer, a community prayer. God provides through individual believers to bless others in their time of need. And so in this time when there is many who are without work, who are struggling? Are their needs being met? Are we quick to meet their needs? And so there's a corporate and communal obligation here in God's kingdom when we say and pray, give us this bread, this day our daily bread. Because through faith in the Lord Jesus, we are one body, though we are many members. We are the family of God, and family members take care of each other. We're not called to live for ourselves only, but to live and work for one another. And so Jesus' disciples give generously and charitably out of the material abundance that they've received from the Lord's hand. Listen to the words of Ephesians chapter 4, verse 28. I alluded to it earlier. Let the thief no longer steal, but rather let him labor, doing honest work with his own hands, so that, the reason being, he may have something to share with anyone in need. One author says, love does not try to find a loophole to justify keeping food and clothing when you see your brother or sister in need. And so the gospel of Jesus Christ so radically transforms our lives that we live not for ourselves. We lay up treasures not on earth but in heaven. We live for one another. The gospel of Christ radically transforms the way we view God's provisions and blessings in our own lives. So I have 2 points of application here. When we pray this prayer, pray for essential needs. We're not praying for luxuries. We're not praying for great riches. In your work, you may attain great wealth and treasures, but it is used to be used for God's glory, for God's honor, and for the well-being of your neighbor. Love your neighbor as yourself. Proverbs 30, verse 7 and 9 through 9 warn us, 2 things I ask of you, deny them not to me before I die. Remove far from me falsehood and lying. Give me neither poverty nor riches. Feed me with the food that is needful for me, lest I be full and deny you and say, who is the Lord? Or lest I be poor and steal and profane the name of my God. Give me, O Lord, what I stand in need of, not what I want. First, pray for essential needs and be thankful as God meets your needs. Lastly, secondly, be content with his daily bread. 1 Timothy chapter 6, verses 7 to 9 say, for we brought nothing into the world, and we cannot take anything out of the world. But if we have food and clothing, with these we will be content. But those who desire to be rich fall into temptation, into a snare, into many senseless and harmless desires that plunge people into ruin and destruction. For the love of money is a root of all kinds of evils. It is through this craving that some have wandered from the faith and pierced themselves with many pangs. Paul is content. If we have food and drink, this is enough. Is it enough for you, Christian? Is it enough for you and me to say that in that prayer, give us this day our daily bread? With a content spirit, a content heart, you woke up this morning, you put clothes on your bodies, you ate your breakfast. Is that enough for you in this day? And are you thankful and content with that? Or does worry and anxiety of what will come tomorrow overwhelm you? Jesus teaches us and exhorts us to say and pray, don't worry. Your Father in heaven knows your needs. Humbly depend on him. Trust in him. For he is the antidote to worry. Because worry is powerless to affect change. The ineffectiveness of worry is very real. And trusting God to provide for you. Pray. Work hard, young people, adults. Work hard and give. It is more blessed to give than to receive, says the Lord Jesus. Our Father in heaven, we are thankful for your blessings and provisions. And so we pray, O Lord, that you would give us hearts that are content, hearts that are grateful for your many blessings that you have bestowed upon us. And we pray in faith in the Lord Jesus, the one who came and died for our sins, who was rich and yet for our sakes became poor, so that in him we might become rich spiritually, forgiven of our sins, cleansed of all unrighteousness, given new life and hope. And we know too, Lord, that you provide for our physical needs. And so we give you praise and thanksgiving for those many blessings. Oh, help us not to take these for granted. Forgive us, O Lord, where we have not seen your mercies that are new every day, every morning. Forgive us for not seeing your provision daily, both physically and spiritually. Forgive us, O Lord, for pride, for thinking that we have done this on our own. We have lived lives like practical atheists, living our lives without you, existing without the need of you. O Lord, forgive us. Help us to find our complete dependence upon you for all things. We pray this in Jesus' precious name. Amen.